It's nice to be here. What we're going to try to do together is really two parts. One part is an abstract I submitted about the 2011 Institute of Medicine reports on oral health access to care. I'm sure people in this room are pretty familiar with those reports, but to try and just focus on a few things on those reports related to access to care, particularly delivery systems, and certainly as they impact workforce. And then Mace is going to talk about a particular model that we've been working on at our center to demonstrate some of the principles that are listed in the IOM report. So first of all, just disclosures that I do direct this research center at the University of Pacific, and I was a member of the IOM Committee on Oral Health Access to Care. No financial conflicts of interest. Just for those of you who are not familiar with what the IOM is, a lot of people have heard about it and don't actually know what it is. It's a branch of the National Academies of Science. It's an independent nonprofit organization. It works outside of the government to produce unbiased and authoritative reports for decision makers and the public. Often reports are commissioned by various branches of the federal government, Congress, and the administration. It was actually created by Abraham Lincoln in 1863, so it's been around for a long time and has expanded into what's now called the National Academies, which includes National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, the National Research Council, and the Institute of Medicine. So in 2011, of course, was an historic year, having had two reports commissioned about oral health, which is the first time they've done a report on oral health in their long history. They've done hundreds of reports. They did one on dental education back in the 1990s, but these are the first reports ever done on oral health. So it really is actually pretty historic in terms of the oral health community, and I think these two reports are going to serve as guideposts for the next decade, in some ways in the same way that the Surgeon General's report did for the last decade. So the statement of task that was given to the Committee on Access was to assess the current U.S. oral health system, explore the strengths and weaknesses and challenges, describe a desired vision for improvement, and recommend strategies to achieve the vision. So this is the vision statement that was in the report on access to care. Major single bullet point across the top of the single headline is everyone has access to quality oral health care across the lifespan is the desired goal. And that was broken down into 6 points to be successful, that the oral health system would eliminate barriers, prioritize prevention, provide oral health services in a variety of settings, rely on a diverse and expanded array of providers, include collaborative and multidisciplinary teams, and foster continuous improvement and innovation. So those are the high-level goals of the desired system. Some of the points that were emphasized in the report was that the oral health system of the future should emphasize prevention and oral health promotion, that HHS should invest in workforce innovations and improve care that focus on both use of new and existing oral health professionals, and the CMS should explore delivery and payment methods for federal programs that improve quality and coverage across the lifespan. In addition, there was some attention paid to the idea of creating optimal laws. It was noted in the report, I think this is just worth emphasizing, that in spite of national accreditation system of standards on education and training of healthcare professionals, which means that in theory all of our healthcare professionals are trained to the same level, that you have vast differences from state to state in terms of what people are allowed to do. So I'm going to point out a couple of the recommendations that I think bear on workforce. So one is that this was access recommendation number 2, that state legislatures should amend existing laws, including practice acts, to maximize oral health, and at a minimum should allow dental professionals to practice to the full extent of their education and training, which currently, as we know, is not the case across the country now, allow allied dental professionals to work in a variety of settings under evidence-supported supervision levels, and allow technology-supported remote collaboration and supervision. So envisioning actually a pretty different kind of organization of the oral health care team than the traditional one. Recommendation number 4 recommended that current Title VII funding should support the development, implementation, and maintenance of a substantial community-based education rotations and increase funding for recruitment and scholarships for underrepresented minorities. In other words, develop a more diverse oral health workforce. Number 5 was to expand opportunities for dental residencies, and then subsequently state legislatures should require a minimum of 1 year of dental residency before a dentist can be licensed to practice. So there was a recognition that this happens state by state, but the IOM's stated goal is that we should get to a point where there is a required year of residency for anyone who has a dental license. Finally, recommendation number 8 deals more directly with workforce and said that the federal government and federal agencies and private foundations should fund oral health research and evaluation relating to new methods and technologies, and specifically describe non-traditional settings, non-dental professionals, new types of dental professionals, and the use of telehealth. Again, pretty different than the way our traditional system works. Should use measures of access and quality and outcomes, and that would drive payment and regulatory systems. So I think sort of summarize the major workforce and delivery system points in this report are a recommendation for a movement towards chronic disease management, composition and licensing of the workforce, a more diverse workforce working in multiple settings, using telehealth to get people to collaborate, and having payment and quality measures that drive system change. I'm going to skip that one. So some of you this morning were at a session, we talked about this report on oral health quality improvement in the area of accountability, which sort of takes the IOM principles a step further and describes an accountable healthcare system that we're moving into, and talks about the movement from volume-based systems to value-based systems, and describes a vision where, as we move into an era of accountability, all of these things you see on the right side, which is a very different looking delivery system than the one we have now, will start to have more impetus and more incentives to move in these directions. So in conclusion, the IOM is pointing us in a direction which is saying we need to allow dental professionals to practice the full extent of their education, move from acute surgical interventions to chronic disease management, provide prevention and early intervention strategies in community locations, connect people together working in diverse and geographically distributed sites through the use of telehealth, and use quality measurements to drive the change from volume to value. And with that, we'll turn it over to Mesa, who's going to describe a specific example of these principles that we're working on in California.
Good afternoon. So as Paul mentioned, I'm going to be talking about just the use of telehealth, which was one of the IOM recommendations. And as a disclosure, I have no financial conflicts of interest. So this is probably really familiar. You just saw it 2 seconds ago, as Paul mentioned it. We are trying to move from volume to value, where instead of paying for specific procedures, which is all the volume-based system, to more of a value-based system where we're looking for health outcomes and looking to improve the overall being of the patients. And there are multiple different things that you could do to change from volume to value, and telehealth is one of the delivery system changes that could be brought about. And actually, a few months ago in the July 2012 issue of the CDA Journal, we talked about the use of telehealth in underserved communities. So you can, if you look at this issue, you'll find more explanation of the use of telehealth. And telehealth has been around for a while. In 2009, the Children's Partnership put out an issue brief on the school-based telehealth, and this is actually more in regards to general health systems. So people are looking at using telehealth in both in the dental world and in general health systems. And again, just reiterating that you can use telehealth to reach out to underserved populations and using non-traditional providers or using distance collaborations to reach underserved areas. Specifically for teledentistry, this actually started back in 1999 in the U.S. Army. They were transmitting color photos to look at periodontal surgery. So this is a 13-year evolution in the world of dentistry, and we've gone from transmitting photos to something we are calling now the virtual dental home, which I'll get into the specifics of it. But it's been around for a while, and we've seen quite a change. And with the change in technology, so has the change in telehealth in the world of dentistry. There's a group here in California called the Center for Connected Health Policy. They put out recommendations roughly a year and a half ago on telehealth model statutes. And in this in these recommendations, these are top three that you can look over, but they were discussing changing the words from telemedicine to telehealth, so it's more encompassing overall health, not just to medicine, and incorporating telehealth into state workforce laws, and any services that are provided in person, they should also be paid for if you use telehealth-enabled services. On a federal level, this actually, Dr. Glassman and Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont, he has a very grand vision of called the Comprehensive Dental Reform Act of 2012, which most likely will not pass, but this is but it's showing that telehealth is being looked at on the federal level as well. It's being supported, and there's a lot of awareness on the national scope. So again, in the California Dental Association Journal, we wrote another article on the virtual dental home, which, again, is our version of a teledentistry system, which is trying to use a telehealth-enabled system to reach underserved communities. And I'm going to try to do my best to explain this system in a short amount of time. And the way it works is we have dental hygienists in alternative practice, which are independent hygienists, and dental assistants going out in community settings. So these community settings are places like Head Start, elementary school, long-term care facilities, somewhere away from the dental office or clinic. They go out there, they collect records, so this includes radiographs, so they have small little portable x-ray machines. And something to note in this photo is that look, she has nothing, very minimal amount of equipment that she takes out with her to the schools. So it's just the little portable x-ray unit, the laptop in the background, and a dental unit as well. So in one or two trips, she's able to get all of her stuff into this room, taking radiographs, taking intraoral photographs, doing some restorative charting of the pre-existing conditions. This is periocharting, taking caries risk assessment that we've built into our online management tool. And we have something called basic measures, which is just a few basic measurements of if the patient has any treatment, needs any treatment, and has any untreated decay. But all of that information, anything that you pretty much collect on an initial visit, goes into this cloud-based electronic health record. So those are the radiographs. You can blow them up. The dentist is able to review all of these records. So the dentist who is off-site, so not at the school, not at the long-term care facility, is able to log into the server with a secure username and password and review all of that information at a later time, so it's a store and forward system. They're able to review that and then basically decide, is this someone who's healthy enough to be taken care of in the community by the hygienist alone, or is this someone who needs to come into a dental office? So if the dentist reviews those records and decides, well, this person's relatively healthy, they just need some preventative measures such as, you know, fluoride varnish, just a cleaning, then this patient goes back into the system, into the recall system with the hygienist. They, you know, the hygienist goes back and sees them roughly every 3 or 6 months, whatever they think is appropriate. And they can do, so as it says, they can do some prevention and early intervention, case management. All of that can be done on site wherever the patient is. In addition to that, we have gotten a state waiver to place interim therapeutic restorations, which are temporary restorations that the hygienist can do on site if the dentist treatment plans for it. So if they're for very small, shallow holes, instead of watching this progress over time, if the dentist thinks it's appropriate, the hygienist is able to go in and place just a temporary restoration into that hole. And the mechanism that we have approval from the statewide health planning and development, which has given us authority to test out this change of scope of practice to allow hygienists to do this, and only hygienists that are in our projects are able to do this. We've received this waiver through the state. And one fundamental aspect of this project is that dentists are remotely, you know, looking at these records. So we actually did a study at our school to see if a dentist looks at a patient in person, can they come up with the same results if they do it via a telehealth-enabled system, such as our virtual dental home. So we did this study at our school, and we actually found out that a dentist comes up with the same decision, whether it's in person or via telehealth. And that was actually published, that study was also published in the CDA journal. So don't get overwhelmed, but so again, the first area, if the patient's healthy, they go back into the recall system of being seen in the community. If this patient needs some more extensive care to be provided by the dentist, the hygienist helps refer that patient either to the dentist, is the collaborating dentist, or any other dentist that they prefer. But we help that patient get into seeing a dentist, whether it be a dental office or a dental clinic. So as you can see, this is just a nice little system of using the cloud-based server to really triage and keep track of the patient, whether they need services in the community or by a dentist. So if you look at different areas of getting care, so in our system, we're really trying to focus on the patients getting care in the community, getting early prevention services, which is the least costly procedures. And as we keep going up the ladder, we see that in the community, you see the patient sooner and it's least costly. The next possible option is to be seen on-site by a dentist with portable units. It's a little bit more costly, but you might still be able to prevent some greater disease. Following that is your more traditional setting of a dental office or dental clinic, which is very costly with all the overhead, all the expensive equipment. You know, the disease has probably progressed a lot more, so it's becoming a more extensive and difficult visit. And the highest cost of neglect is if your patient has to go to the hospital or ER, which no one wants to get there, and it's the worst, the costliest area to provide care. So currently, our virtual dental home is being tested out in roughly 11 sites throughout California, both in rural and urban settings. Again, we're testing this out in Head Start, elementary schools, long-term care facilities, but all throughout the state we are trying to see how this works out. And we have actually been testing it out for the last 3 years or so. So this whole system is we have a long phrase for it, but it's a geographically distributed, collaborative, telehealth-enabled, prevention-focused system of oral health care without walls. We're trying to do all of those things. So going back to the first slide, telehealth is one of these, just one thing in helping change from volume to value, and we're really trying to do the best to show that we can do this. And thank you very much.